Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Together and learn about the goodness of God and how that impacts us as believers. Amen. You know, sometimes you got to realize, why do you go to church? You just don't go to church so you can say, I had a good time. I got to jump up and down, sing a few songs, although most of us is kind of reserved here, right? Growing up, I remember there was a guy that he used to jump super high. He was a short guy, but in praise and worship, he would just, hey, jump up and down. His name was Brother Felix, Pastor Felix Williams. And, you know, just growing up in churches, you get to see the difference of how different people worship and praise God. Now, this is the thing about worship. God doesn't require you to be exactly what everybody else is. Isn't that a good thing? God is not trying to make a million Phillips. He's not trying to make a million Marquises. If there was a million Marquises, this world could be crazy, right? No, but I'm just thankful that God, he loves us. But the great thing about us is if we love God, we begin to even express that in our worship, in our praise. Amen? Today, we're going to get into pure hearts. I'm going to continue on that. So I'm going to pray and we're going to get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you to God for another opportunity to be in your presence. We thank you to God that you are a good God. We thank you to God that you are the one that pricks on our hearts, oh God, and tells us, dear God, the directions that we need, dear God, that you show us the way. So today, we ask that your spirit will lead and show us the way, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, last week, just real quick, I talked about what a pure heart is. It's usually they call it a person that is without malice, treachery, or evil intent, honest, sincere, and guileless. And that is what it means to be pure hearted. I spoke on the scripture a little bit. We actually went to Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 18. We read that last week. I have two more passages in the book of Philippians that we'll read today. And my key scripture for today. But before that, last week I said, what's the word of God say about the pure heart? Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they will see God. Right? Right? Is that right? They will see God. So this is very important to me as a believer because I want to see God. Right? Now, this is the thing. You can be in church your whole life, sing great songs, preach great messages, but if God has not touched your heart, guess what? You will not see God. So this is something that all of us have to say, God, I want to have a pure heart. Let me be clear on this right here. You cannot make your own heart pure. Catch that? You cannot make your own heart pure. There is nothing you could do to wash your heart. There's nothing you could do to clean it. There's nothing you could do to fix it. You have to say, God, forgive me of my sins, clean and wash me, and then continually put yourself in a position where you say, God, I'm ready for you to clean me. Many people get the first part. They say, God, clean my heart. But as life goes on, they're like, okay, God, I think I got this now. God, you were driving me for about a good 5 miles. We got 100 million miles to go. Let me take the wheel from here. And what begins to happen is it's your motives, it's your desires, it's your thoughts that supersede God's. That's why it's very important that we put ourselves in a position for God to clean our hearts. My key scriptures for today, one of them is, I preached on this one of the young adult conferences, and anytime I talk about the heart, I feel like this is important. It says, in Proverbs 4:23, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Many of the things that happen in your life come from your heart. The very things that you say come from your heart. It's interesting how when people that are not saved get around quote-unquote Christians or people that they know are following God, they stop cursing. You ever seen that happen? Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't say that. When I tell people, like I said in the Uber all the time, hey, yeah, I'm a pastor, all of a sudden the cuss words come with, oh, I'm sorry, forgive me. I got to try not to do that. And I tell them, go ahead, do what you, that's what you do. Don't fake in front of me, right? But the understanding of, hey, I'm in God's presence makes people try to fix themselves, but they got to realize they can't fix themselves. So these people, they keep on cursing because that's a part of them until God begins to clean and work on their heart. And guess what? It's not an overnight thing. There's sometimes playing sports where I have to be careful of what I say, because there's still things that God is cleaning in my heart. And I've been saved for, I really gave my life to the Lord at 7 years old, right? That was because I did not want to go to hell. Anybody had that testimony? They heard about hell. Look, I am not going. Jesus, come in my heart. Save me, Lord. But at 12, that's when I realized it's a relationship. And then with that relationship, he starts to tell you things. He starts to correct you. He starts training you up. When you start reading his word, he starts teaching you that daily. You read that scripture. This is why it's important, if you want God to create a pure heart in you, that you make it a habit to hear his word, to read his word, to, as the word of God says, meditate on his word. Because as you go throughout your day, you'll hear something and the spirit of God will speak that same scripture that you heard. Right? This is why it's not just a good thing to read the Bible. It's a great thing. It's a great thing to allow God's word to impact your life. And the more you are in his word, really what you're doing is you're putting yourself in a position of saying, okay, God, teach me. One of the things I always say when I read the Bible is, God, help me become what I read. If I read this, I want to go to the next level. We sing that song. A lot of the songs that I sing, or I choose that when I say, hey, mom, I really like this song, can we do this song? It's because these songs are really cries out to God. Many of the ones that I sing. Because that is what we have to get to. Like I said a couple weeks ago, one of the very first sermons I preached was The Next Level. And I preached for 2 hours, that sermon. I don't do that no more. Hallelujah, God delivered me. He made my heart pure after that one. But what I am trying to say is that we must ask God to help us get to the next level. See, Christianity is not a build works thing. Now, this is what I will say. When you give your life to God, it will produce works that honor God. You catch that? But you can't try to honor God without having a life with God. It doesn't work. But it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Some of the in the old King James Version, it says, guard your heart. Somebody say, guard your heart. You have to guard your heart from things that are unlike God. Now, this week, I told a few people about the radio show that I do. And one person asked, well, hey, what about if it's not Christian, but it just doesn't say anything bad? Will you allow that on your show? I was like, no. Why? Because sometimes trying to find what bad and what isn't bad, especially in the worldly terms, is not the same as our terms. Right? We don't operate on their terms. We have terms, which is the Bible, that teaches us how to operate. But this is what I will say. Many people, instead of guarding themselves, they expose themselves. Catch this. How many of the thoughts that come from your heart came from something you may have seen or heard. Many of them, right? Good or bad, right? You have seen or heard something. And what begins to happen is, this is what I call, this is a fight or flight. You know, they talked about that in psychology. There's a moment when a thought comes to you, you have to decide whether you're going to entertain that thought or you're going to block that thought, right? You can see something and start thinking different things. But see, if God is with you, His Spirit is in you, and you'll say, hey, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I cannot think like that. God, and even if you're having problems with thoughts like that, you say, God, forgive me. Lead me. Guess what? I really believe that a lot of the battle, and I know that a lot of the battle comes from what's in your heart. That's why we have to put ourselves in a place to say, God, I am yours. Use me. Right? And what does the word of God say? It says in Romans chapter 12, what is it about the renewing of the mind? My mind just went blank right now. But, no, not that one. There we go. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. All right? That's very important, but guess what? Your heart has to want to be renewed. If you do not want to be renewed, you will not say, I'm not going to conform to the pattern of this world. I'm just going to begin to become like what the world is becoming. And guess what? The world is getting like that. The church, unfortunately, is no longer saying we're different than the world. We're saying, how close can we get to being like the world? And what begins to happen is that's a spirit of compromise coming from a heart that is not from God. So what begins to happen is your heart is no longer beginning to be pure. People start looking at the church as, hey, that should be the pure place. But because people are doing other things and their motives are different than what God wants, what begins to happen is they start becoming more and more like the world. This is why the scripture says to try the spirits by the spirit. Everybody that says they are of God is not of God, right? And like we talked about last week, that doesn't mean always be, oh, I hope this person, I got to prove that person. No, that's not what we're doing. We're just saying, God, make sure my heart is in the right place. Make sure my heart is right in the right place. Make sure even the things that I hear are in the right place. I don't know if you ever heard somebody preach something or you even heard somebody teach. I'm going to just say with teach. You might have heard somebody teach something and it wasn't something that lined up with the word of God and it made you feel weird. You're like, I don't like that. Your spirit within you is letting you know that is not okay. I remember I was at a concert one time and I'm pretty sure you guys heard me say this. But I'll say it again. I was at a concert and somebody began to sing. And immediately my spirit felt uneasy. And I told my wife, I got to go outside. It wasn't bad words. Wasn't nothing crazy. But I did not feel comfortable when I heard that sing. That song being sang. Right? So I was like, I got to go out in the lobby or something, I can't be here right now. Because I was sensitive to the Holy Spirit. There's going to be times, the more that we are in God's presence, the more we can sense a spirit that is not of God. My dad was talking about it this week. He was talking about how demons will recognize believers. You might be walking somewhere. I actually did. It was right over here. I was on this side of the street. Another guy was on the other side of the street. And he starts yelling and cussing at me, and usually it's in a different kind of voice, you guys. And I told him to shut up in the name of Jesus. Or sometimes I even ask him, do you want to be delivered? Because there's power in Jesus' name. I remember me and Tammy were talking, and we had this guy, he's sitting down, and we were like, do you want to be freed from that evil spirit? And he was like, no. And I was like, okay. But there is deliverance in the name of Jesus. It's interesting. My mom was talking to somebody today about certain things that go on in the United States. But what we got to see is there is evil spirits tormenting people, and many of them, unfortunately, are willingly allowing that to happen. Right? Now, if I put you in prison and I was like, hey, I have the key to get you out, many people will say, get me out of here. Right? But unfortunately, when you are bound and it begins to mess with your mind, some people are saying, I'd rather stay here. This is comfortable. But it comes from their heart. See, the enemy can play with you if your heart's not right. Matter of fact, he begins to use you to do things that he wants to do. That's why we must guard our hearts. Somebody say, guard our hearts. I talked about you cannot clean your heart, but your prayer must be one of my favorite scriptures, Psalms 51 and 10. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. This is David talking to God, saying, God, create in me a clean heart. So this is a prayer that he has to pray. This is something that we do. If we want our hearts to be pure, we must say, God, create in me a clean heart. Because I'm desperately wicked. I'm messed up, God, and I need you. Hey, this is not a prayer that you just pray when you first give your life to God. This should be a prayer that you pray as you still recognize who God is in your life. The more that I know how good God is, the more I realize that I need God. You catch that? The more that I realize that, hey, without God, I'm a mess. I might have been saved for this amount of years, but God, I still need you like when I first got you. Because when I start thinking that I'm okay without him, that's when my heart starts changing. Amen? Let's go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 through 21, and then we're going to read Philippians 4 through 7, and then I'm going to read a passage from a website called gotquestions.org, and it's talking about what it means to have a pure heart. So Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, you got it, man? All right, brethren, or sisters, join in following my example, and note that those who so walk as you have us for a pattern, okay? For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. All right, I'm going to stop there and I'm going to come right back to that. But that's what happens when your heart is not with God. There was people that, it says right there, that people that started walking with us, but now they walk to please who? Themselves. It says one thing right here is that their God is their bellies. What I can say is they are led by their appetites, not just food. Some people will just see that, they just led by their food. No, when your God is your belly, you do whatever makes you happy. Right? You do whatever makes you feel good. It says, whose glory is in their shame. That means they praise things that are not even righteous because their heart has changed. They're no longer in a place where they're saying, God, clean my heart. Purify me, God. See, this purification that we talk about, once again, just like Christianity, is not a one-time thing. It is a lifestyle that we must live. It is something that we commit to and say, God, every day I wake up, I need you to fix me. I need you to restore my heart. I might have messed up yesterday, God, but I thank you, dear God, that you forgive me. Now help me to not mess up again. Help me to honor you. It says they set their minds on earthly things. When your minds are totally set on things of this earth, you are in a trap that will keep you from purifying God. That will keep you from having a pure heart. Because when you are set on these things, you are not set on the things of God. Right? Now, does that mean God doesn't want us to have good things? No, that's not what that says. But if that's all you're after, that's a problem. I know people that have nice cars. I know people that have nice houses. Some of them allow that to be their status. Others, they're just grateful. They thank God. Man, I can't remember what happened, but God allowed us to get this house. There's always praise God on their lips because God did something to help them get there. They realize that without God, they wouldn't be where they are. And the Bible talks about it in Philippians. It also talks about learning to be content with what you have. Being thankful in every situation. That's something that we have to work on. If we want God to purify our hearts, we have to work on, God, help me to be pure. Help me to be thankful. Let's go to the next two scriptures.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
It says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." Now, what we see in this scripture is that God is able to do just what he said he will do, right? He is able to fix you and conform you to his image if you are in the right place. How do you get to that place? That's a place where you are constantly looking to God, as the word of God says, the author and the finisher of our faith. You guys catch that? That means God wrote our faith, but he's also the one that's going to complete our faith. But if we get saved, right, give our life to God, and then we start trying to do things on our own, we are no longer allowing him to be the author and the finisher of our faith. God wants everybody that calls upon his name to be saved. But you have to stay connected. Let me give you a good example. How many of you had best friends in your life? And you thought you were going to be best friends for life. Right? You guys went to the stores together. You went shopping together. You might have had the same clothes. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? You did everything, you did it together because that was your buddy. But guess what? If you no longer stay connected to them, they can't really be your best friend. Right? And I'm not even going to say best friend. Sometimes our friends change. There's some people that I was connected with a few years ago that I barely see. Right? It happens. Life happens. But I will tell you this. The ones you really want to stay connected with, you start looking at your calendar. Hey, when can we link? Hey, let's link up this. I need to link up with you. Okay, hey, what? Maybe we can come to your house. We can eat. Let's plan something to be together, right? That's what you do to the people that you really want in your life. You start saying, okay, look, I know you're working. I work this hours. You work this. But we still got to get together. I don't know how or when, but let's plan something. That's the way that you have to have your relationship with God. And say, God, look, I know I got all these things, but I need to be with you. I need to connect with you. That's how you continue to have a pure heart, by staying connected with God. Amen. Let's keep on going. Philippians 4, verse 4. And we're going to go through verse 7. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Now, this is a scripture that my kids say every day on the way to school, because I don't want my kids, like many people in Seattle, that only rejoice when the sun shines. Check it out. This week, Uber story. I had somebody in the car. They get in the car. They were from another country. They've only been here a year. And they're like, I'm so depressed out here. Now, check this out. I'm going to tell you something. The depression is real because people allow it to be real to them. They allow the sun to change their mindsets. They allow the sun to make them happy or sad. And guess what? Maybe that comes from people that used to worship the sun. I don't know. Because, you know, in Egypt, they worshiped the sun. The sun was one of their gods that they worshiped. I think it was called Ra, the sun god. Right? So guess what? You guys remember in 10 plagues that happened to Egypt, one of them was darkness. It blocked one of their gods. Now, I don't know if maybe God is trying to get us to recognize that the sun is not really a god in Seattle, but we must really remember that the sun should not dictate how we rejoice. The sun should not make us more excited to see another day. Now, I'm going to say this. I like to see the sun. Don't get it wrong. I'm like all of y'all. Who likes to see the sun out? We like to see the sun out. But guess what? If the sun's not out, I'm not going to be like, oh, man, this is going to be a horrible day. I wish the sun would come out today. My life is, this is not going to be good. Not good. It's too many clouds. I'm not getting the vitamin D that I need. You know, let's give them the technical terms. I'm not getting enough vitamin D from the sun, so I'm depressed. Guess what? That's a spirit. And guess what people begin to do when they're depressed? They try to depress other people. You heard it say, hurt people, what? Hurt people. Depressed people help other people get more depressed. And guess what? If you're in a room of depressed people, it's a problem. Right now, one of my friends, Albert, he knows me everywhere I go. If I'm in the gym, if I'm at my house, I'm with my kids, I'm always like, let's go. Why? Because I'm excited, man. I'm excited. And I tell people get in the car and they, oh, you're from Seattle? You've been here your whole life? How do you like it? I love it. I thank God that I'm here. I'm not really in unless God says, Marquise, move somewhere else. I'm not going nowhere. Right? Because I'm not going to be moved by the weather. Guess what? God has a whole nother weather that we need to be moved by. That weather is, right now, it is ripe. He says, send out laborers to bring in the harvest, right? That's the weather that God has. God's weather and his economy is totally different than ours. So I look to God, the author and the finisher of my faith. Let me keep on reading. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, okay? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Now, can I get 6 and 7 together real quick? Because I want to break this down. If you click on both of them, it'll show up real quick. But it says, be anxious for nothing. Press shift and click them, I think. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. If you can't, that's okay. There we go. Whew, my mom out back there learning some new stuff, huh? All right, it says, be anxious for nothing. Somebody say, be anxious for nothing. What does that mean to you? Somebody help me real quick. Come on, help me. Oh, is that a word for somebody already? I can just preach on that right there. Quit stressing. That's what the Bible says. I can go home right now, right? But it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. All right, so check this out. Don't be anxious. Don't be worried, but pray about everything. But be thankful when you pray. Catch that. Don't worry about what's going on, but if you have something that you need to ask God about, ask him, but ask him with thanksgiving, meaning you realize who God really is. You say, God, you're a great God. I thank you, dear God, that you are able to do more than I can even fathom with my mind. Now, God, I got this situation, and I don't want to stress about it, but I need you to come through right now, God. I need you to open up the doors. I know it might not be physically able to happen, but I know that you're more powerful than physics. I know that your mind works better than my mind, right? So when you pray, you are not anxious, but you pray with thanksgiving. And catch this, when you do that, the peace of God comes to you. And then it says, and that peace surpasses all understanding. I don't know about you, but I've been in situations where I was stressing, but if I really give it to God, he helps me understand that it's going to be all right. I've told you guys at times I almost lost the condo, stepped out, tried to do some things I heard God tell me to do. Wasn't going the way I wanted to. And sometimes what begins to happen is I just shut down. I'm like, God, it's hard to tell you. It's hard. When you're really going through some things, life begins to happen. You start to stop. What happens with all the things that happen in your life is that the enemy is trying to stop your praise. Right? The enemy wants to defeat your praise. With all the things that happen in life, circumstances. And if we are not careful, we allow that to affect our heart. The circumstances that we go through. But God is in the purifying hearts business. And if we pray to him, not stressing, he will give us peace that surpasses all understanding. That means you can't even understand why you have peace. This is why I think it's very important to learn how to worship. I had a cousin one time, he came to church and he called me before. He's like, I did something I shouldn't have done. I need help. And one thing I do not want any people that give their life to God to do is to think that the only time you can get help is from a pastor. Okay? The reason why I want to say this is you have to build your own relationship with God. Your own relationship with God is what's going to keep you in God. Right? Now, let me be clear about that. That doesn't mean you don't have pastors. But what I am saying is each and every person that has given their life to God should have a relationship with God on their own. And then when you come corporately with people that worship God together, you are encouraged because of the relationship that you already have with God. This is why some people could come to church and be like, I'm not really feeling that thing, because their relationship is not right. Your relationship with God is key. All right, so it says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We're talking about pure hearts. We have to guard our hearts in Christ. Now, here's a scripture, one of my favorite scriptures. When people ask me, hey, Marquise, what kind of music do you do? I can say Christian music, gospel music. But this is a scripture that I go to let people know what is going to be in my music, right? This is what should be in my heart. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Catch that? God wants your mind to meditate on the right things. Matter of fact, it says true things, noble things, just things, pure things, lovely things, good things, and virtuous things. That's what God wants your mind to be wrapped around constantly. So when I do my music, that's what I want people to hear. Right? Now that can mean I can rap about my family, because that is something that God is honoring God. I can rap, make a song about my beautiful wife, because that is a song honoring God. Right? I can make a song about trying to raise my children in the world that's crazy, right? Because that's honoring God. That's a true thing. It's a noble thing. But these are the things that we must meditate on so we can continue to have a good heart. Amen? All right. The last thing I'm going to say is be in position for a pure heart. You put yourself in position to say, God, I'm ready for you to clean my heart. Amen? Let me go ahead and read this passage, and then we're going to be out of here. The question was, what does it mean to be pure in heart? And the answer is, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God, as found in Matthew 5:8. Jesus spoke this during his famous Sermon on the Mount. So what did he mean by pure in heart? All right. Well, the Greek word for pure is katharos. All right. It means to be clean, blameless, unstained from guilt. Interestingly, the word can refer specifically to that which is purified by fire or by pruning. All right. Anybody ever had any gold before? Right. The purest form of gold is worth a lot more than gold that hasn't been purified. Right. But guess what happened? Guess what had to happen to that gold? It had to be burned to remove all things that don't add up to making it gold, right? Maybe it was in some dirt. Maybe it was in a whole bunch of other things. It had to be burned to be cleaned. God does the same thing to us. He cleans us, amen? John the Baptist told people that Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Malachi speaks of the Messiah as being like a refiner's fire in Malachi 3, 2. Jesus refers to himself as being the branches and himself as being the vine in John 15, 1 through 17. For a vine to produce fruit, it must be pruned. Those who are truly pure then are those who have been declared innocent because of the work of Jesus, and who are being sanctified by his refining fire and his pruning. Also, it says the Greek word for heart in Matthew 5:8 is cardia. This can be, you guys heard cardiac, you know, it's really close, it's from Greek. This can be applied to the physical heart, but it also refers to the spiritual center of life. It is where thoughts, desires, sense of purpose, will, understanding, and character reside. So to be pure in heart means to be blameless in who we actually are. Being pure in heart involves having singleness of heart towards God. Catch that? Being pure in heart involves being committed only to God. All right? A pure heart has no hypocrisy, no guile, no hidden motives. The pure heart is marked by transparency and an uncompromising desire to please God in all things. That's kind of what I was saying earlier. Your desire to please God has to supersede any and everything else if you want to have a pure heart in God. It is more than external purity of behavior. It is internal purity of the soul. Once again, that comes back to the fact that you cannot clean yourself. Pure in heart doesn't mean I'm going to wash my hands all the way up to my elbows 50 times a day, right? Or I'm going to wash my tongue out with soap because I said a few bad words. Now, I said that one time when I was in kindergarten, I said a bad word and the teacher washed my mouth out with soap. Not cool. That was nasty. But guess what? Some people think that makes people stop saying bad words. Now, you might stop in their presence. And I only said shut up and I got that soap washed, right? But what I am saying is this. It's not something you can do on the outside. It's not, ooh, I can fix myself. It's saying, God, I need you to fix me. It says the only way we can be truly pure in heart is to give our lives to Jesus and ask him to do the cleaning or the cleansing work. Psalms 51:10, one of my favorite verses, once again, it says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. God is the one that makes our hearts pure by the sacrifice of his son and through his sanctifying work in our lives. And that's at gotquestions.org. But it's very important for us to understand God's sanctifying power. And if you don't know what sanctifying power is, it's simply clear. It's simply defined as his cleaning power. When he is cleaning us, as we get closer to him and as we get ready to go be with him on the new earth that God creates, because a lot of people will tell you that we're going to heaven. The Bible says that God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth, right? In that, we will be with God forever. But to be in his presence, he has to clean us. There's nothing unclean that can stand in God's presence. Matter of fact, if you see God ever speak with different people, they were like, I'm unholy. I'm unclean. I'm going to die. Because they know that God requires purity. And our hearts should say, God, purify me. Amen. Let us pray. God, I thank you to God for your word. I thank you to God that you are a God that loves us. I thank you that you are a God that wants us to be all that you've created us to be. God, I thank you to God that you are cleaning us. You're sanctifying us. God, I even thank you to God for the times, dear God, where even when we know we messed up, dear God, that you touch our hearts and say, hey, you can turn from that. I thank you for the call of your spirit. God, we pray to God that you purify each and every one of us. Purify our hearts, our minds in Christ Jesus. Help us not to get caught up with all the things in this world, but help our soul desire, our one desire to be pleasing to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen. That was impactful to you. Go ahead.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon. And we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.